Lynch Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
On the open line today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 1368, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com to get your voice on the air. So whatever's on your mind, you're on. And still to this day, after all the fuss about those forged UK £20 notes, has anybody seen any at all, apart from the one that was in the Port Jack Chippy? Or are we being kept in the dark over this? These forged £20 notes. Well, there's an answer to that. Only use Manx ones. And the problems with the connectivity issues regarding Manx Telecom, how is it? They did say, by the way, if you do have problems, you must give them a call on 624 624, or if you're in and around Douglas, nip into the shop in Strand Street and speak to a member of the team, or go to manxtelecom.com/support if you are having problems with connectivity issues. And by the way, we did ask, we got a question yesterday about what the story was with Bus Vannon, with the lots of services affected with no explanation. Well, we tried to find out, James, and we've asked Bus Vannon. Reply, has there come none from the answer phone?
Hi, I'm phoning up about my taxes for the car. I went up to the tax place, test centre, paid for my tax disc for my car, and still haven't received it, and now the tax disc has run out. Has anybody else had this trouble, or is this the way of the DOI or the techs or whatever, the test place, making money for people to find this because our tax disc has run out? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary. And if you have a problem with that, if you've been and bought a tax disc and don't have it yet, then please do get in touch with that. Remember, cycling is prohibited on the TT Mountain course. Recently, two people were arrested for cycling on the mountain road around Windy Corner. Why would you do it? Why are they, especially as the traffic's coming the other way? Lord above. There's clear signage across the mountain road advising cycling on that section of the road is not permitted, so please follow the instructions. Well, we're closed. There's been another delay, obviously, you've heard. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, I'm just looking on your webcams. It's looking pretty good around the island at the minute. I suppose they're just waiting for all those drops of rain, and I suppose the trees will be dripping on the road as well, so they'll have to wait for that to evaporate.
Well, there is, but the good thing is, certainly around Glen Helen, they've trimmed all the trees back through Glen Helen, so that's going to dry a lot quicker than it would have done otherwise.
Yeah, I was through on the bike the other day, and I noticed that they've really given it a good pruning, haven't they? Battery storage for renewables.
Yeah.
In a recent interview on Paul Moulton's Isle of Man TV YouTube channel, Ralph Peake stated that having a wind farm on the Isle of Man, like Cairvy at Eerie Stain, will require storage like batteries. However, batteries are not used for storage anywhere on Earth. They're used for grid balancing. If you think about the electricity grid, is like a tug of war. So on one end of the rope, you've got the electrical generation from Pullrose, and on the other end of the rope is our demand. And in the middle of the rope, you've got a flag. And our grid is extremely sensitive to those differences between what's generated and what our demand is. So the flag can only move a centimetre or an inch. It's a very, very sensitive. And if it moves any further than that, you'll end up with a system collapse, and then you'll have blackouts. So we've heard increasing figures from how much this Cairvy wind farm is going to cost us. Originally, the newspapers were talking about $23.5 million, and it's doubled I think the last time it was mentioned a while ago, it's already at 45 million. And who knows how much that wind farm is going to cost us. But the sales pitch for the wind farm at Cairvy is that it will save around £5 million a year in lower gas usage by turning down the power station when the wind blows. But what about the battery costs on top of the wind farm? So the cost of the batteries is going to include things like the batteries themselves, the inverters, you've got synthetic inertia, you've got installation, and then you've got the grid connection. And that could be around $40 million on top of whatever the wind farm's going to cost. But crucially, the annual cost of the batteries over their relatively short lifespan, including expensive disposal off the island. I think somebody said that just an EV that's got a damaged undertray is $6,000 just to shove it on the boat to get it across as dangerous goods, if I remember right. And it looks to me like the cost of the batteries and their usage and their disposal over their lifetime will be more than the savings that are touted of the $5 million for the savings on the gas.
Have they said where the batteries are going to go?
No. But, you know, you've got the point that the wind blows from any direction and you've got a large fire risk, like the Moss Landing one in California, from owned by Vistracorp. Now, that fire caused 1,200 residents to be evacuated, and then it flares up again a month later. So, you know, these fires, when they're out, they're not necessarily all the way out.
Have they said where Cairvy, where's it going to jump into the infrastructure on the Isle of Man? Where's it going to be piped into?
Well, I would imagine they'll try and get it onto what's termed, I think, the 33 kilovolt line. And then try and they'll have to get it over to Pullrose because that's the spider's web centre.
Well, where's the nearest 33 kilovolt input? Because I remember when Mr. Whittaker was wanting to put that enormous solar panel around Billown, there was literally one down the road from there. So that could have gone into the system quickly there. But I'm just interested, if there are going to be batteries, where are they going to be and where's this thing going to join the system, as it were?
Well, this is the question. I mean, there was talk about a substation on Mount Gorn Road near Ganzi, but I think there's issues with that. There was also talk about there's a small substation at the top of the Ballymoder, but I understand that's only a 10 kilovolt, so it's too small to handle the power when it's running. But these are all questions that need answering. But it seems to me that the what you call the amortized, or if you think about all the costs of those batteries, they're hidden. A bit like all the massive costs with the Liverpool ferry terminal, where, you know, it was touted at 18 million, but they never thought about looking under the waterline. And then you end up with over 100 million. And I think Laurie Hooper said it was north of that. So if the wind farm ends up being 100 million, and then you've got £40 million worth of batteries and all that gubbins, and then you end up with the costing of the batteries over their lifetime being more than what the potential savings were from the gas, and the savings from the gas probably won't appear anyway by turning the power station down, because the power station can only be turned down a certain amount. Because you can't turn it off, because you'll end up with condensation and corrosion. So you can't.
Do you remember, Julian? Do you remember where were they talking about putting a road in from? Was it Ballykillowy? They were talking about putting a road in from somewhere to build the wind farm for Cairvy. So there's that road to go in. So again, these are just granular details that nobody's quite mentioned yet. And as you say, the battery one is another one, which I wasn't aware of, but you just wonder where it would seem logical to put the batteries at Pullrose.
Probably logical to do that. So, you know, if you end up with anything like the Moss Landing fire, you know, if you've got a westerly to southwesterly, well, you know, it's going to go all over Douglas. If you get an easterly like we've had, it's going to go all over the residents of Pullrose. And you're talking about hydrogen fluoride gas. You can't even hold your breath with that stuff. It goes in through your skin. So good luck with that. But I think the problem is the entire sales pitch for Cairvy was all about the saving of the gas. But if you can't turn the power station down properly, and the cost of looking after and replacing the batteries every 10 to 12 years, It doesn't make any financial sense to put care buy in at all. And then, of course, you've got all the other bit about them saying that it's going to generate three times more electricity than any other wind farm that's ever been put onshore anywhere in the world based on special qualities. The whole financial case for care buy is collapsing in real time straight off a cliff. So I think somebody needs to come on and explain, what about all these hidden costs? Because we do not want another Liverpool ferry terminal disaster.
Well, that goes without saying. OK, all right, Julian, good to hear from you. Right. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your opinion today. A quick point, says Colin. A quick point. Am I right in thinking that e-scooters are illegal in the Isle of Man? I only ask because I've seen a few people using e-scooters this week. And I'm sure the police have other things to do apart from worrying about e-scooters. But if they are illegal, surely somebody would have told the users for this. If you're aware of that problem, then please, by all means, do get in touch. And it would be nice to know the official word on e-scooters. After hearing that the horse rams might only go as far as the war memorial, confirms that the grass stretched to the sea terminal isn't wide enough for a horse tram to be used safely. It's a WhatsApper in 696. As the government's trying to keep the tracks from where they used to run along the road. Well, I've been told, I've asked umpteen times, 696, but apparently the grass stretch is perfectly wide enough for the horse tram to go up and down. My internet and Manx Telecom Mobile has been working fine throughout Douglas over TT so far. Thank you, James. Good to hear from you. Let's go to the lines again. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just to follow on from that lady with the road tax.
Yep.
I came on your programme in April, and I'd been up to the test centre to, after they'd done away with the post office doing the road taxes, to do mine for the car. Cut a long story short, they wanted me to go online. I said no, but they were a bit pedantic about it and demanded my insurance, etc. But to cut a long story short, they said, oh, it'll be 10 days before you get your road tax, the disc. Fine. That was on the 24th of April. I finally received my road tax disc on the 6th of May. So, in essence, by their changing over from the post office to the test centre or going online, I was devoid of any road tax, essentially, for 6 days. And it was actually stamped the 6th of May. So what happened to all the machines that used to be in the post offices that they used to just print your tax disc out there and then, and you'd walk out of the post office within your tiny hand, and you could put it to one side until such times the date was there, and you could put it back in your holder on the screen, which the law demands. But I heard on Sunday that a chap had, it's an old motorbike, and it's one that's not out on a regular basis, so it's only used occasionally for summer weather, fine weather. It's an old bike, and he wanted to tax it, and he went up to the test centre and was told they couldn't do it there, you've got to go online. So he had to come back home again and go and do it all online and all the questions, because this is only used on occasions. It's not all the year round. So are they making life difficult for people? Are they doing it just by way of awkwardness? Because also, I was when the tax was due, a friend of mine had his car and had taxed one. But he has a system on his phone whereby, and it's one that's regular, it's not a spurious one, you could check the tax discs and whether they're paid or up to date or otherwise. And he'd had his in there for 3 days. He'd paid for it all. Luckily enough, he had a receipt. But it was coming up on the screen as untaxed. Now, if the traffic wardens have a similar system and they go to this and say it's untaxed, even though the vehicle is with no tax disc, which, again, as I say, you're legally obliged to show it, you can be fined for not. his car, for all intents and purposes, hadn't been taxed, which made his insurance that he had on it void.
Well, I was always taught if you're in retail, and let's face it, the department is in retail because they're selling road tax. They're selling mm-hmm. this. You're a customer and they're supposed to supply. I'm told that the customer should come first. So if the customer isn't coming first in these instances, you just wonder who's making the decisions, Howard.
Exactly. Well, when I came on your programme, as I say, it was April. It wasn't long after that, I'd say within a fortnight, Tim Krukol came on and was saying that they're putting extra staff at the test centre because they're overwhelmed. But you will be if you put it into one building, whereas previously it was anything up to about 10, should yeah. we say, just to give a number, post offices around the island, where it would spread the work out and the ability of staff to do a proper job. But the staff at the test centre, they just didn't seem to want to be bothered. It was just an interruption in their day, you know, which is unfair because previous to that, and I've been driving for an awful long time, never had any bother with the road tax. But this is the OI, they seem to be looking in all the time and not looking out to what's available. They're closing down on what is there on the pretense of being more efficient. But I'm afraid it's going the opposite way.
Okay.
But that's three instances now, and that lady that's just been on your programme was shows it's not getting any better. It's still continuing.
Well, the thing is, Howard, it has to be said, and this is not... And remember, the people on the shop floor are the ones getting it in the neck. The decision's been made higher up. We were used to better. We were used to better service. So the service has gone down.
And you're just saying that it's down to the attitude of the people that's behind the counter. And if they have a pedantic attitude, then that is going to come through and rub off the wrong way onto the customers. You've got to have, if you're behind the counter, you've got to have an amenable character, way of dealing with people. And you can't just grunt at them. Those days went out when they were scraping their knuckles on the ground. And that's what seems to be happening now. The DOI are going back to the Neanderthals.
Okay. All right, Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Take care. Bye now.
Okay. By the way, the story about what happened at the airport... chaos ensued when fog prevented flights from arriving and therefore no flights could then leave. We heard from Duke Travel, representatives of Duke Travel. A lady and a colleague, Freya Cameron, were stationed at Ronald's Way, ready to welcome guests and transfer them to Douglas with the help of drivers for Duke. By evening time, the situation had ended up causing 300 people to be left stranded at Ronald's Way. Freya and I... helped airport staff pass details of possible accommodation to as many people as possible, as well as signposting the option of the 10 o'clock Liverpool ferry, which many went for. Behind the scenes, we were supported by our office staff, answering call after call late into the night, and the Duke Village, who freed up emergency cabins, as well as the drivers who took many people back to Douglas as they could. But just wasn't enough accommodation. We put a post up on TT and MGP helpline page and were inundated with offers of help for people who didn't want to stay overnight in the airport, which was the plan. We helped connect people, make phone calls and ensure they had some options. We also had many local people actually come and collect travellers to take them to their homes and offers of return lifts in the morning, which is incredible and meant that in spite of all the hassle, people left feeling taken care of and relieved. By 10 o'clock, there were 34 people left at the airport who I think were committed to staying as the civil defence had put emergency camp beds up. I think we just did what anybody else would have done under the circumstances. There were many people involved in the help effort. We all just tried to make the best of a bad situation. That's TT, and thank you to the good people at Duke Travel for that update. It was a real problem. Efforts are underway to raise £200,000 for Maria Costello, who's been left paralysed following a crash in qualifying. She was in the sidecars. Maria and a passenger, Sean Parker, were involved in what's been described as a horrific accident at Brandish last Tuesday. Maria, who was marking 30 years of racing, she's been a real figure around the TT. The Snaefell Mountain course is on a high dependency unit in Liverpool, starting a long road to recovery. So we chatted to her manager, the OMG racing owner, Alan Gardner.
Unfortunately, they're going down towards Brandish. A hare has run out literally right in front of them. Unavoidable, no matter what they did. They've hit the hare and they've had a horrific accident. Both of them very, very battered up. Sean, not in a good way, but most of his things are just, it's broken bones. We're motorcycle racers. We get these. We know we're going to heal. They're going to hurt. They're going to be sore. They're going to be painful. But you're going to heal. Maria, unfortunately, has had two vertebrae. Damaged in her spine. She's got spinal cord damage and she's now going to have life-changing sort of consequences because of that. Currently, as it stands at the moment, yes, she's paralysed from... She broke T5, T6 vertebrae. She's paralysed from that point down. You can Google away. You'll see this is very roughly midpoint in your chest. Current status is she's paralysed. We're hopeful that something can be done. We know that that's probably not a very easy thing. But there are specialists somewhere in the world. We don't know. Who knows what can be done and who knows what modern science is going to come up with next year.
Now, let me just take you back to that Tuesday evening. Were you watching?
We were. She wasn't actually one of the outfits, the sidecar outfits that was being followed at the time. And then it very quickly became apparent, well, there was a red flag, it very quickly became apparent to us that it was Maria and Sean. And then you sort of lose contact, which is the norm, and we expect that. And it's quite an anxious time then to try and find out what's happened. But yeah, whoever it is, you're always going to have grave concern. But when it's somebody that you are absolutely linked to, then yeah, I mean, your first thought is, have we done anything wrong? I mean, the guys that build the outfit for her are distraught trying to work out, you know, was there something wrong? Did something fail? Did a part fail? We very quickly found out that that there was a hair involved, and so it was an unavoidable. It wasn't mechanical error. It wasn't mechanic error. It wasn't a component failure. It wasn't driver or passenger error. It was one of those freak accidents where wildlife has decided to join us.
That was Alan Gardner from OMG Racing and the story and the situation with Maria Costello. If you want more information, by the way, go to manxradio.com, click on our news page and you'll see the full story. But it goes without saying, we all wish Maria all great good luck for the future and as much of a recovery as she can make.
Healthcare can often feel disjointed, uncoordinated and lonely, especially when off-island care is required. That is not the case at Clinique Savoie. With clinics in Douglas and Ramsey, Clinique Savoie is the first private integrated healthcare service to bring together Manx GPs, specialists and carefully selected partners who all work together to ensure your care is completely focused on you. Call 682000 or visit cliniquesavoie.com. Take the next step with Clinique Savoie.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you when creating beautiful lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail, we offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Looking to make the most of your savings? Cornerstone Bank offer a range of savings options, from fixed terms of 6 months to 3 years, to variable rate notice accounts with notice periods of 95 to 180 days. And choose monthly or annual interest, whatever works for you. For the latest rates and an application form, check out cornerstonebank.co.im. Cornerstone Bank, celebrating 90 years of community, heritage and connection. Here for the journey. All deposits are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. No early withdrawals permitted. Qualifying deposits made with Cornerstone Bank are covered by the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Do you ever feel that the news sounds, well, a little familiar? Chances are, is because you've heard it all before. Using windmills to produce power? We were trialling those in the early 1960s, old news. Reform of the Legislative Council? They were talking about that in the 1950s and earlier, old news. Problems at Peel Commissioners? The Examiner suggested there was another farce there in 1945, old news. Listen to these stories and more in the Old News Podcast with me, H, available via your usual podcast provider or direct from the Manx Radio website. And you can also hear each new podcast broadcast live every Sunday morning, just after 8:30. There's nothing new under the sun, it seems. It's all old news.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12:30, and here's Ian. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Andy. Good afternoon. I missed the beginning of your programme, so I'm coming in on this road tax issue.
Right.
Not knowing everything's been said already. I've just renewed my road tax. I sent the application off on the 15th of May in the post. And I was getting worried this week because, last week even, because I hadn't got a tax disc. I tried ringing them. No, they don't answer the phone. I finally got a tax disc sent to me.
Right.
It arrived in the post this morning. Now, keep track of these dates. It was the Frank on the envelope says it was posted yesterday.
Right.
So that's after the 31st of May. So right. My car was illegal yesterday. The letter sending it is dated the 19th of June. You get that one? And the tax disc itself has a rubber stamp, old-style stamp on it from the licensing office. And that is dated the 1st of May, 2026. This is for renewing from the 1st of June.
The 1st of May?
Yes. I think they're in a bit of a mess down there.
I will
compliment...
Yeah, you're not Doctor Who. You don't do time travel, do you, Ian?
Oh, if only. And then we could get back to doing it at the post office. Well, it was a five-minute job.
Crikey. All right. Anyway, you're legal now. That's the important thing.
I'm legal now, and I'll compliment one young lady down there who actually returned a voice message that I'd left this morning.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Dr. Hoops. Sorry,
okay.
Ian, thanks for being with
right
us
then.
Today. All
yeah.
right. And let's get to Marion, who's with us now. Hi, Marion.
Hello. I'm just reading, not about road tax, but road dryers. You know, like the TT's been held up and there's wet roads and there's mist on the mountain and everything yeah. like that. Why don't the TT people invest in like a road dryer? They do exist.
Yeah, they do exist, don't they?
Yes, but I couldn't because they already exist.
It'd be interesting to know whether who's got one of these road dryers and where they're used these days. If there any racing tracks use them or what they're used for.
I mean, yeah, I understand you won't be able to use them in a downpour, but you know, with the wet, the drips coming down off the leaves.
Yeah.
It'd be marvellous, you know, just to get it dried and these people can watch the races that they've come to see.
Well, it's disappointing, isn't it, with the way the situation is. You feel sorry for everybody who's involved, the poor people who are in tents getting rained on. And we need to do as much as possible.
But it's a marvellous... I mean, the people here are marvellous. You know, the help that they gave people last night when they were stuck on the planes. I mean, it's just fantastic. It really is. It's lovely to see and hear about.
Right, okay. Well, if anybody knows about these dryers, the blowers, then we'd love to know, Marion. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Good
bye.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Yes, close to 300 people were stranded at Ronald's Way yesterday after fog cancelled two outbound flights. Visit Isle of Man, the airport, civil defence, and as you heard, Duke Travel were there to seek accommodation or alternative travel arrangements for the affected people. By the end of the night, over 100 people were put on the steam packet. Others were taken in by residents and hotels, and 25 and more stayed at the airport. The Emergency Planning Office at Civil Defence is Jane Kelly.
Visit Isle of Man and the team down there had been really busy trying to identify availability of hotel rooms on the island, and the airport were obviously busy looking at their continuity. So we were looking at options for later on for using civil defence potentially to open up rest centres if needed. So it's just really trying to find a lot of accommodation during TT when we know it is quite short.
I did see a figure, I think someone posted on Facebook, and they said it was about 270-ish people. Do you know if that's the true figure?
I think it was about that. We had three flights cancelled. So, you know, one EasyJet is about 150, 160, and a couple of the smaller Loganairs as well. Some of those people, though, will be Manx, and were able to go home. Some were able to go back to the accommodation that they'd vacated earlier on that day. And we managed to get over 100 onto the ferry. So quite quickly, we can whittle those figures down. Ultimately, we had about 25 in the airport overnight who were quite happy to stay there, in all fairness. We provide them with camp beds, we provide them with duvets and pillows, and they, you know, they get some sleep overnight.
It's 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. You haven't slept yet because you've been busy doing all of these coordinations and assisting people.
We stood civil defence down about 10 o'clock. Lights went off at the airport at 10:30, and then I stayed down at the airport overnight. You know, we're sleeping people in an airport, which is an unusual situation, but it's just somebody there as a sort of a waking watch. After that, I went into a TT meeting at 7:30, so it's been a bit of a long night.
Jane Kelly from Civil Defence. From the airport, by the way, there is one delay today. The inbound 12:30 EasyJet from Manchester is not in until 10 to 2, which means that the outbound EasyJet to Manchester won't be going at 1 o'clock. It'll be going at 20 past 2. Margaret's on now. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. About the road tax.
Yeah.
My car was due to be taxed at the end of May. I got the form from them mid-May, and I posted it off on the 14th to Tramode or wherever they are. And I put a copy of my insurance in with it. I got the tax disc back on the 29th, and the stamp on it was dated the 28th, but they sent me two, both identical.
Oh, great.
So, you know, somebody's doing something, but we're not quite sure what.
My word. Well.
So I got two for the price of one, but the second one's absolutely no use to me because it's exactly the same as the first.
All right. Hey, Margaret, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. 22 minutes before one. We found out, by the way, what happened. The DOI has told us what happened to the buses. It was high levels of driver sickness on Sunday. Bus Vanning was unable to operate all scheduled services. In total, 10 part services didn't run, which was just under 1% of Bus Vanning's scheduled services. A lot of the people actually put their shoulder to the wheel and got involved. An example of a part service will be the service 11 from Port Erin to Onchan via Douglas, but only the section between Douglas and Onchan didn't operate. The section from Port Erin to Douglas still operated. Therefore, it looks worse than it was, apparently. Anyway, it was driver sickness. G dropped a note into me and just says, the Isle of Man needs cheap energy more than clean energy. The cost of wind turbines, power grid upgrades and related infrastructure will make green energy unaffordable and could be the final straw for businesses and domestic customers. And also remember, these smart meters could also permit the MUA to ration supply if the wind doesn't blow. Well, that's one way of looking at it, whether those smart speakers could turn your electricity off. I wonder. And a note in from Christina. regard, this is Save Our Craigneish Bus People. The information about the number 8 and 8S bus service is very unsatisfactory, and not everybody's on social media. This is why our group, the Save Our Craigneish Bus, has put up information posters at the bus stops in Port St Mary, and we're currently waiting for permission to place another poster on the entrance door at Port Erin Station. Hopefully, it'll be there today. For those who are on Facebook, the same information poster can be found on our page, Save Our Craigneish Bus. The 8S service to Craigneish and the Sound has been cancelled, partly due to congestion caused by cars parking on the road. The service 8 to Peel is currently running, but only between Castletown and Peel. Passengers travelling from Port Erin or Port St Mary need to take a bus to Castletown and then board the number 8 from there, says Christina. Well, who are these people who are parking on the road? Christina, who are they? And presumably all these cars will have a number plate and they'll be easy to report. And if you're not supposed to park there, well... Billy says, is it time to reconsider the dates and adapt to the changes in the climate regarding TT and weather? As somebody who's travelled to the Isle of Man since the early 70s until fairly recently, I've noticed that fewer and fewer laps are being raced at the TT because of bad weather. Although I can remember some very poor weather during my visit, it seems that climate change is bringing more disruption than I remember. Given that, why doesn't the TT, the organisers, recognise what many people can see? That the traditional May and June dates may no longer work as well as they used to. Is it time to change the dates and adapt to the changes in the climate? Ian says, I agree with Howard. I was very happy with the old system for vehicle licences. This new system isn't working for the benefit of customers, and the government needs to backtrack on it as soon as possible, in my opinion. Texter 278 says, a 6-day delay for a tax disc. Around my way, people are parked up waiting for 6 months to a year, even longer for theirs, it seems. The Department of Infrastructure doesn't appear too concerned. I think Texter 278 is telling us there are people not paying road tax. But the thing is, if there's an untaxed vehicle, isn't this the law? If it's an untaxed vehicle, you can report it so it's taken away. Surely that's the case, isn't it? If these are untaxed vehicles, then they're illegally parked. Everyone should go to the test centre to renew their vehicle licences. It might cause short-term chaos, but then they'd surely have to have a rethink, says that texter. More messages coming in, and this is about energy and the environment. There's a massive battery storage plant in Texas next to a colossal wind farm and solar plant. So these facilities do exist. On the Isle of Man, batteries would only be needed when wind farms are producing more electricity than the grid can use. Before that point, output from the gas-fired power station and electricity imported through the interconnector could be reduced. The proposed wind farm here would need to be much larger before storage became a major issue. In countries such as the USA, Canada and across Europe, surplus energy is used storing pumped hydro systems, where water is pumped uphill to a reservoir and then released through turbines when electricity is needed. Well, we can't do that, can we? So we don't have a method of storing electricity via a pumped reservoir. The only reservoir that we have capable of doing that is Sulby. That does have a very small hydroelectric plant. But quite how you do that is, it would be more money, wouldn't it? Regarding the promenade works, the new ferry terminal and the horse trams have all been significant cost overruns, says Brian. The idea of onshore green power generation is a non-starter. Well, that's Brian's point of view. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. And anything else you care to mention. There's lots of stuff going on. This is the media and the public debate. Brian says there should be more opportunity for a broader range of opinions to be heard, says Brian. I don't quite know what you mean, Brian. We have phone-ins 5 days a week. So it's easy as pie, Brian. If you want more, a broad range of opinions to be heard on Man in Line, Brian, pick the phone up.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Wellness doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes it's as simple as wild swimming in crystal waters, walking cliff paths with sweeping views, or cycling quiet island lanes. On the islands of Guernsey, you can do it all. Across five islands that you can hop between with ease: Guernsey, Herm, Sark, Alderney, Liu. Each one is different, but all of them are a breath of fresh air. Reconnect with nature. Reconnect with yourself. Start your wellness journey at visitguernsey.com.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
The team at Nicola Bowker & Co. specialise in supporting local businesses with the expertise, practical help and advice that you've been seeking. Whether accounts, tax, payroll or expertise along your business journey, find the friendly, professional support you need at Nicola Bowker & Co.
The Manx Gaelic, Ginian Amera, the mother tongue of Alan Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
13 minutes before one, Patricia said, how come a scheme that, which only a month ago was said by the government to be less than £2 million, is now said to be over £3 million? I can't find the item on the Register of Business, but I'd suggest this discrepancy needs a full investigation of DOI and Treasury officers involved. And what's been added to the project? It would appear to be a joint effort to try and stop the full reinstatement of the island's World Heritage status. Horse tramway, says Patricia. Well, apparently it's made it onto the Register of Business. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just listening to the news item there when the Treasury Minister said they're going to have changes in VAT to support residents, yeah, like they've done in the UK. But I thought this interview wasn't very specific on what he was going to try and do, where there was going to be fuel deductions or whatever. And just for your information too, I'm producing about 2 kilowatts. My battery's 73%, and my consumption in the house is 0.38 of a kilowatt.
So you're
if anybody wants to spare, bring the battery round, I'll top it up.
Tell me, do you get to sell it back to the Manx Utilities? Do you sell it back?
Yeah, and that's why I want the utilities, John Wannenberg, to get on, or as chief executive from the Manx Utilities, to say, why are we only still getting paid 9p when you're charging us more money? And we're producing energy for others.
You see, this is interesting. This is interesting because if it'd be nice to know how many, what the capacity is of domestic solar panels and corporate solar panels, business solar panels on the Isle of Man, because it surely is quite a bit. So they could maybe practice lowering the output of the power station every now and again, and take everybody's and pay them more. How much do you get? Was it 9p?
9p. 9p. Only 9p.
That's good business,
isn't it? We
pay
29, roughly.
Yeah.
And we get 9p.
They sell at 29 and buy at 9. Good business, that, isn't it?
Well, it's a good business if you're a shareholder. Yeah. And who are the shareholders? Of the government. Taxpayers.
There you are. Yes, there we are. We're going.
All right. That's why we want the fella on, the Manx Utilities fella on. Get him on. Let's quiz him.
All right.
Cheers, mate.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. My car tax is due at the end of June, says Mark J. Are we now saying that the letter with the code needed to renew online is no longer being posted out when it's time to pay road tax? If so, how do we tax our cars now? Treasury boss has told us it's hopeful businesses on the Isle of Man will pass on savings from temporary reduction in VAT. The government's following this UK scheme, reducing the tax on children's meals in restaurants, family tickets to cinemas and shows, and admission to attractions. It'll drop from 20% to 5% until September the 1st. It's been pitched as families paying less for days out this summer, but it's up to the businesses to decide whether or not they reduce their prices. That's that situation. Oh, by the way, I want to hear from Martin Critchley. Martin Critchley was one of the residents who helped this situation at the airport last night, which could have been a lot worse, but luckily it was all sorted out. Martin Critchley was one of the people who stepped up to assist stranded passengers last night. Martin lives in Ballasalla. Martin Critchley.
I took in two fellas who were on the way to Dublin. I dropped them back off at the airport this morning and they were very grateful. But apparently there were some people stuck in the airport still and the civil defence brought in some camp beds for them. But there was an awful lot of people because there were so many cancellations yesterday because of the fog. But I think everything's running okay now.
Martin, what made you step up in that moment when you read that message?
Well, I used to do, and I don't do it so much, but couch surfing, if anybody wants to, because I've travelled places around the world and couch surfing is the cheapest way to do it. And why wouldn't you if you can help people out? Lots of gratitude and all that. And they were trying to sort of say, well, what can we give you? And, no, it's all part of the Isle of Man friendliness, really. But they were saying the security man at the airport said, no, nobody can stay here overnight. So they were panicking a bit, but apparently it did get sorted. Just taking in two is a small contribution.
That's Martin from Ballasalla helping out last night. Well, it's the Isle of Man. Of course he helped out. It baffles me, says Steve P, when damp roads after Ramsey hairpin caused delays to racing, when the one-way cones direct traffic away from the racing line. If the cones directed traffic onto the racing line, would the roads dry more quickly, or am I missing something? Says Steve P. Jay says cyclists shouldn't be using busy roads during TT fortnight when dedicated cycling routes are available. Some riders continue to use the roads, causing queues and delays for other traffic instead of using the marked cycling path. Is that still going on? My granddaughter, says Ali, had to ask me for a lift to work this morning because a Castletown bus to Douglas drove straight past the stop at Saddle Mews. The bus was full and it was pouring with rain. The Southern bus service is very busy every day, but during TT fortnight, it is very, very crowded. Could Bus Vanning put on extra buses during peak periods? People are encouraged to use public transport to reduce congestion and parking pressures, so capacity needs to match demand. Here's Mike with a message. I've never understood why vehicle tax expires at the end of the month before the anniversary of when it was taxed. For example, I taxed a new vehicle in mid-May 2026, yet it expires at the end of April 2027. If all vehicle tax renewals ran for 365 days from the date of taxation, it might spread the workload more evenly at the test centre. And more on this, I'll just renew my vehicle tax online as I've been doing for the past few years instead of continuing to live in 1990. The rest of the island could do the same and save time. Not everybody's online, but I get the impression some people want to go to the test centre to give themselves something to do. It only takes a few minutes to do it online. Well, if they want to go to the test centre and they're able to... Anyway, I filled my application for a licensed tax disc online in April and got it back within 2 days. Easy to do, and I'm nearly 80, says 140. I've just changed the ownership of two vehicles into my name online says PJ. It was all straightforward, but I now have both the original and new logbooks. If I were not an honest person, I could potentially use the old logbook and previous owner's details to sell another vehicle of the same type that didn't have a logbook. Previously, the old logbook always had to be handed in for this reason. It's Fritzy with this message. The Isle of Man should follow the UK system and remove the need to display tax discs and test certificates. There's a number plate recognition on the Isle of Man, is there? So why not use the same approach? It would save paper, reduce frustration, and help provide a better service. But Fritzy, it's the Isle of Man. We have tax discs. It's why whenever we drive to the UK, everybody points at us and says, "What's that?" It's a tax disc. It's the differences that make us different. Right, more messages in. Or shall we go to... I think I've got time to do this. And it's regarding a message that I had a couple of weeks ago regarding who owns the Isle of Man newspaper group these days. Well, the Isle of Man newspaper group, with publishers the Examiner, the Independent and the Courier, historically owned by Tyndall Newspapers. Tyndall Newspapers bought it, I think, from the Johnston Press, the Scottish group. It's been ages since the Isle of Man newspapers has been owned by a Manx company. But in 2016, Tyndall bought the business from Johnston Press for £4.25 million. More recently, in March of this year, Tyndall Newspapers itself was sold to a joint venture between Iliff Media and the Fowler family, which means the Isle of Man newspaper group is now ultimately controlled by a new joint venture between Media Isle of Man. This is the Fowler family, by the way, involved in the 2026 acquisition of Tyndall Newspapers, is a Scottish newspaper owning family centred around the late Peter Fowler and his son Rory Fowler. They've long been involved in regional newspapers, but that is the situation. Through the 2026 deal, this Fowler Iliff joint venture became the ultimate owner of Media Isle of Man, which is the Isle of Man Examiner, the Manx Independent, Isle of Man Courier, Isle of Man Today, and Jeff the Mongoose. So there we are. Anyway, we wish them well. I know they listen every day. Get a few tips on things. Hello to everybody. While I don't watch the TT, I've worked with a number of sidecar teams in the past. Seeing everything that goes into running just one outfit makes the decision to suspend the sidecars for the remainder of the TT even more significant. It undermines everything the teams, families and supporters have invested in, the work, the emotion, the wider impact, far-reaching. It feels like the thin end of the wedge, says Finella. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Back tomorrow. Open line. WINT.